This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 17th pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Welcome to Foxborough, everyone, for our latest Draft Prospect Review Podcast, where we...
preview?
Oh, thank you, Paul. Finally, we got that right this offseason. The prospects for the 2011 NFL Draft, which is still going on, despite the continued NFL lockout. And today we're talking wide receivers, a position of relative need, I'd say, for the New England Patriots going into this season. I think also we're in agreement. That was very Andy Hart-like.
Stole my line.
I know. I think we're all in agreement, too, as to who the elite player is at that position.
George's, the rest of the world's not, though.
Well, we don't care about the rest of the world. That's true. Care about the people in this studio and the people who listen to this podcast. And for that audience, we believe A.J. Green of Georgia is the best wide receiver prospect. Would you all agree?
I could take out the word wide
Andy
receiver.
Andy Hart, Paul Perillo,
best prospect
Eric Scalavino
in the draft
here from Patriots Football Weekly.
Best overall prospect.
I think there's an argument for what Andy says. I'm not sure I'm willing to go that far, but there's definitely an argument.
I am
Andy
Stones. I am, sure. Best wide receiver in the draft.
Well,
I mean, best prospect in the draft.
It's just because I don't have the breadth of knowledge of all the prospects that you do. I wouldn't
best
be able
receiver
to,
prospect since Calvin Johnson.
I wouldn't be able
That's
to compare him
is.
To everybody else.
A.J. Green will not have a bad NFL career. Will be a star in the National Football League.
You think
fact,
he's,
not opinion.
Calvin Johnson.
I liked Calvin Johnson coming out.
I loved Calvin
a
Johnson,
lot
but
coming
I, but
out
I like,
of Georgia
I really
Tech.
Liked Michael Crabtree coming out too, and
I think he's been pretty good.
His big play potential is far superior, and that sells at the next level.
I think that Green is a little faster than Crabtree.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But not markedly
better. Big play potential.
We know that
down the field.
I like
making
Adrian
plays
Green a lot.
On the football. Yeah. He is tremendous.
We know that wide receiver is one of, if not the most diva position in football, and Crabtree to me was a diva among divas. He was just he was
I know
just
you
too
guys don't
off.
Like
he got into the prime you Deion Sanders
he
whole
certainly
shtick.
Did
I know you guys don't like those
he
those
didn't give us dirty looks at the combine
guys
Paul.
That don't bat their eyelashes
no, I had no problem
no.
I actually like Crabtree a lot. I think he's
I
a good player.
Thought of him very
gonna,
highly coming
going,
out
going
and he's been very good. I mean he's lived up to it, but
I think AJ Green
he doesn't have the upside of AJ Green. AJ Green
no I think AJ
upside of
I think AJ Green's a better
not Randy Moss, but he has upside of that type of receiver. Game-changing, true number one, playmaking receiver.
Yeah, I'm not sure as I'm as high on him. I don't know why we're really going to this much depth on A.J. Green. When
he's the best player in the draft.
You'd have to trade up significantly to get him.
Maybe.
I'm not sure the
Some
the
mock
Patriots.
Drafts have him falling to 11, 10 that I've seen him at, with
I
Julio Jones
low,
going earlier.
Again, don't pretend to have the breadth of knowledge.
Not a lot of mock drafts on GoNU.com.
What about DieHardDogs.com?
Or whatever the website is.
All right, so
low-level websites.
We can safely say that Green
low-level
is...
Low-level basketball in the Final Four again.
Green is going to be a top half of the first round pick.
Yes.
Yes.
Top 10
safely.
Pick. Top 10.
If not a top 10
Will
pick.
Not get out of the top 10.
So that leaves some lesser... And I say lesser in quotes because they're still great prospects, but some lesser names who could still potentially be in play for the Patriots. We mentioned Julio Jones, Torrey Smith of Maryland, another one who's pretty highly regarded, has a great YouTube video of his slam dunking ability, if anybody hasn't seen that. Just shows what a tremendous athlete he is at only 6'1". Guy's got some rise. John Baldwin of Pittsburgh is a name that people have in that upper echelon, but I don't know about you guys. I'm not too keen on John Baldwin.
Well, we drafted two tight ends last year.
A lot more because of his attitude than because of his on-field performance.
I don't care about his attitude. I think he's
That's generally what you guys concern yourselves with.
I'm worried the fact that he's big, slow, and a tight end.
If I needed
to fill the Aaron Hernandez position, I might be interested. But he's not a receiver.
I think he's a tight end. He's going to be a tight end. I think at some point. I don't like him.
Which
a whole
is fine.
Lot.
I mean, he may be a productive guy in that role.
And you add in the problems that Eric talked about briefly. He is an attitude problem. Right. Has been throughout his
me
career.
Me first kind of guy. That sort of thing.
I think that someone's going to be disappointed with him in the second round.
All right, but let's get some other names then out there. I'd like your opinions though on Torrey Smith and Julio Jones, but also Leonard Hankerson of Miami.
Big fan. He would be my pick.
I like Hankerson a lot.
He and Torrey Smith and Randall Cobb are guys that are kind of sliding into that late first, early second round projection.
Unbelievably intrigued with Randall Cobb, by the way.
Well, Randall Cobb, very different. He's a jack of all trades, smaller, athletic. I think Hankerson's a better fit for the Patriots. He's a bigger body, down the field guy.
210-ish.
We've talked about it, Paul. No quarterback play, and the guy has 13 touchdowns. I like that type of production.
Yep.
He's a guy, he doesn't have the elite speed when you think of down the field. Not a, you know, a 4.37 40 type guy, and that's what keeps him from being a truly elite prospect. But he's a guy that can get down the field, make plays on the football, and great hands for the most part.
And we were joking about that on PFW in Progress on Tuesday, and you know, the fact that he, you know, was able to succeed with really erratic quarterback play. And we were watching because the Patriots were up on the clock on ESPN yesterday, and they had a panel discussion. Unfortunately, they didn't really, very well done. They had Mel Kiper and Chris Mortensen, and I think Trent Dilfer was the other guy.
Mel did a great job.
You know, they talked about a lot of different things that the Patriots could do, but they didn't really tell us what they were going to do. I thought that was the whole point of those things, what they thought the Patriots would do, but they didn't really get into that. But one thing that they did show during that clip, I believe, was Hankerson just make an unbelievably sick catch over the middle on a unbelievably poorly thrown pass, and it sort of encapsulated what Andy, Eric, and I have been talking about. This guy has some ability, and his numbers would be even better. And he was pretty productive as it was, but his production would have been even better had he had any kind of consistency throwing him the football, like he will at the NFL level, certainly if the Patriots were to take a shot at him.
Yeah, I like Hankerson as a second-round pick for them. I think he would be perfect.
Yeah.
Not sure if he's worthy of 33.
60.
But if he... or a little higher if they traded down from 33.
I don't think he's
going to
be available at 60, but
I think if he slides into the first round where some people project him, I think he might be a little bit of a disappointment because I don't think he's got an elite type ceiling.
What are your thoughts on Torrey Smith?
Good, not great. Don't love him.
Definite home run guy.
A lot of talent, a lot of plays.
Talk about big play ability.
A lot of athletic ability. Just something about him. I don't think he's the total package. I don't think he's a first-round prospect.
I like him more than you do.
I do, too. And I like his off-field.
What's strange to me is...
Comportment he's fine. As well.
He did bat his eye at you at the combine.
No. Not talking about that, Paul.
That's good. That's good.
Been dubbed the perfect person by his coaches.
Well, I see. These are the kinds of intangibles that you get when you
have
the...
I just don't think he's the perfect receiver.
...of knowledge that you guys have. That's breath with a D.
James Sanders is the perfect person, too, but is he the best safety in football?
No, and I don't think Torrey Smith...
You don't have to say no so quickly.
I'm not putting Torrey Smith in the best receiver in football category. I'm not talking about him
if I take a guy in the first round, isn't that
no,
what you're
but I want to
thinking?
Take him... No, I'm going,
depends
I'm going more with the Hankerson. I'm going more with Hankerson for this guy.
If I take a guy
Some
in the first
say,
round, I want his ceiling to be... He can be an all-pro.
I think he has a ceiling of that. I just I don't... Ceiling, to me, is... If everything works perfectly with this guy, he could be a big play guy in the NFL, and that would make him an all-pro. He could absolutely be his ceiling. I think that more likely you're a notch below that.
To be an all-pro, you got to be a big play guy.
Is he a lock for the first round? Because
I've seen
some people
right
in the second round.
He's on the cusp.
Cusp of the first round.
Okay, so I think of more
35
in terms
or
of
higher, maybe.
Yeah, like Hankerson. Some people say he could sneak
into the first round.
But
they're with Cobb. All three of those are do they go 25 to 35 kind of range.
I think you've got Green.
I like Torrey Smith.
Green and Jones are pretty much locks in the first round.
Yes.
Is it dumb to worry about the Maryland thing? With Haywood Bay and that style of offense.
Really.
Is it dumb to worry about
He's a much
that?
Better receiver.
No,
Haywood
no,
Bay
no, no.
wasn't
I'm saying,
good.
Is it dumb to worry about it? That's what I'm saying. So you're saying, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It is dumb to worry about it.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's dumb. I mean, because you're comparing two different things. One guy did nothing in college, was a Jag, ran a fast 40, and became a top pick. The other guy was a very good, productive receiver. So that's a huge difference. It's not the offense. It's what you chose to look at when you
another team, by the way,
guy.
With poor quarterback play. The Terps.
All right, I'm going to throw a couple of numbers out at you guys.
Okay.
And if you didn't know any better, you do know better. But if you didn't know any better, and I said to you 6'3", 210 versus 5'11", 180, which one would you say is probably the more likely outside deep threat receiver?
How do they run?
I'm giving you the outside guy.
I would say the bigger guy would be the outside guy, but I would need to know how they run.
Right.
I see what you.
But if we're talking about the two guys from Boise State, Titus Young and Austin Pettis, those roles are reversed.
Right.
The shorter guy is the speedy, big play down the field guy, and the bigger guy is more of the slot over the middle type of receiver. Both very good in their own way, though.
I like
Titus Young as the deep threat guy, home run hitter. But I wouldn't be upset if Austin Pettis were a name that
I really like. Austin
the
Pettis.
I like both of those guys. Pettis is the guy who made the plays for right. that team.
He had 39 career touchdowns. I mean, but, that's a pretty good number.
Also, in a fair amount of trouble throughout his career there too. Yeah, no, I see what your point is. You would think of the bigger guy mm-hmm. as being, you know, it's kind of like Jabbar Gaffney. Jabbar Gaffney was more of a slot guy, even though
yep.
he was big.
6-footer, yeah.
Yeah, and I like both of those Boise State guys, and I agree that the production for that Andy said about Austin Pettis, off the charts.
Would you take Randall Cobb? We talked a lot last year
I don't
about
think he's a Patriot
McCluster,
guy.
Because he's a running back and he's a wide receiver and can do it all. That's what Randall Cobb is. And yeah. would you take – you have no running backs. You're looking for receivers, not just now, but for the future. You're looking to replace potentially both Deion Branch and Wes Welker. Do you take Randall Cobb as a
all-purpose.
Whatever he does now, and then we'll figure out what he is in two years as we slide him into a role?
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah,
he's intriguing.
I am definitely
not in the first round, but I'd be in.
No,
if you can
I
get
am
him
definitely
in
intrigued
two,
by yeah. by Randall Cobb. I think he has. I don't think the Patriots will do that. However. I think they need more of a specific guy.
He is he is one of the
But it's a good point you make. You just made a good argument. You find out what you're going to do with him
right.
later.
He
can do it all.
He fills
find
in for
out
Woodhead.
How
he fills
him.
In for Edelman and Branch. He gives you some return ability. Maybe they finally try some wildcat crap. And then at some point you say, okay, now he's my slot receiver in 2014.
And for those of you who follow this type of thing, Cobb was one of the several dozen players who has either met officially, will meet officially, or has worked out with the Patriots privately leading up to the draft, according to published and other media reports. Now let's get a little bit further down the list here with some of the potential sleepers and later round players. Some names I'd like your opinions on, guys. Vincent Brown from San Diego State, Cecil Shorts III from Mount Union, same
Looks
school as
Shorts.
Pierre Garçon. I see what you did there. Another name that we've had tossed at us on the radio show, Terrence Tolliver of LSU, Greg Salas of Hawaii, just some other names.
Tolliver's the best of that bunch, in my opinion.
I like Tolliver.
Never,
we talked about him
never
Tuesday
lived
as well.
Up to his production because partially the quarterback play, but in terms of ability and as a mid-round pick, you know, you can get a guy that's 6'3", 215, whatever he is, that has that kind of ability. And you hope he becomes one of those guys that's a better pro than he was in college. And yeah. I like him.
I didn't like Cecil Shorts at all.
No, he
at all.
No interest.
No, I thought
because
he just didn't really jump.
Didn't
I
jump
thought
off
at,
your...
at a Division III school, I would have thought that you know, much like we talked about with Taiwan Jones.
Yes,
jumped it's apparent that he's yeah. the best athlete on the field when you watch the tape.
Mm-hmm. The running back from
didn't see that with Shorts. Now I know all the numbers. I know the. The production is off the charts. I know he had like kick return ability
yep.
At Mount Union, and to be at a school like that and find your way onto ESPN during the course of the football season, mm-hmm. not just at this time of year when everybody
right.
gets, but during football season,
yes.
he was good. I understand all that. I know he had a great career. I wasn't wowed by him. Nothing really stood out to me watching the little footage that we had of him.
Okay, a couple of other names then for you. Denarius Moore, Tennessee.
Like him.
I liked Denarius Moore. Saw a lot of straight out of Crompton, by the way, on that tape.
Yes, we did.
That's why his numbers were kept down.
Yeah, I actually came away kind of impressed with Crompton in that.
Ugh.
He threw some bullets in that. And he was like, who was the guy? Quinn Gray.
Quinn Gray, that's
throwing
right.
bullets.
I liked Moore's ability to get behind the car. He always seemed like he was a step or two behind all the receivers.
Good route runner, good
yep.
soft hands. I liked everything about him. And,
good
and
solid middle
went through
round
a transition
pick.
There, different coaches, and I think that hurts guys, and maybe you benefit in the pros.
Three, right?
Yeah.
He played
yeah.
with three coaches.
Three different coaches.
And to your Crompton point, he showed a knack for adjusting well to badly thrown balls.
Yes.
DeAndre
I call
Brown.
Call that the Matt Leinart factor.
DeAndre Brown, Southern Miss, a 6'5", 239, huge body guy, kind of like the John Baldwin we talked about earlier. Thoughts on him?
Nah.
Yeah, I didn't think he was very dynamic, but I did think he showed really good hands.
Okay, and
strong hands.
And before we quickly jump over to the tight end position, Aldrick Robinson, SMU.
Eh. Very productive.
Yeah, it was a short tape too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has awkward hands on short throws.
He made some big plays.
Fights the ball a little bit.
I don't
like those guys.
I don't know a ton about him because we didn't have a lot of footage. But what Little did, I mean, he looked like a big play guy for SMU.
Oh, yeah. He definitely,
didn't really.
He had some ridiculous numbers.
Yeah.
65 catches for 1,300 yards. That's impressive.
that's good.
Any names we didn't mention that you guys want to throw out there just for consideration? Patriots purposes.
Where did I look? You mentioned a lot of names.
I think just before you move on from wide receiver, I would just say that much like running back, I think that there are a couple of guys that are at the top of the list, but I think that there are going to be as many as a dozen really good receivers that get taken and could really help. I think there's a lot of third, fourth, fifth round guys like Terrence Tolliver that Andy is really high on, and I am as well, that could really help football teams. I think there's a lot of good receivers in this class. Maybe not a lot of great ones, but there are a lot of good ones.
Okay. Now, moving on to the tight ends. Obviously, they did very well drafting two of them last year. The rookies, Gronkowski, Hernandez, contributed right away, contributed immensely. The veteran addition of Algie Crumpler provided not only some leadership, but also some much-needed extra blocking ability, which Gronkowski did a little bit of as well. But I think we'd all be a little bit surprised if on day two a tight end was selected. I think I wouldn't be too surprised if on day three, when you've got rounds four, five, six, and seven,
right,
maybe they get another guy just to add a little bit of depth, a little bit of competition.
I would think that maybe if there was somebody that they thought was really in the mold of a fundamental big asset to the running game.
Yeah, road grader, you know, blocking,
yes,
type. Yep.
Maybe late in the draft. Otherwise, I'd be surprised if any tight end gets taken. And just to let people know, with little knowledge, with little tape that we have, mm-hmm, not a lot of guys that fit that description.
No.
There's a lot of hybrids. There's a lot of Dallas Clark types.
Right.
Aaron Hernandez.
Of Aaron Hernandez.
There's a lot
types
of smaller, yep, quicker, undersized tight ends that have great hands that are going to be productive players in the NFL, because that's where it's going now.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking to create these mismatches. The kid from Nebraska was one of them. It's just like Dallas Clark,
yes,
to me.
And he also had the number, so I think that helped a little,
yeah,
bit, too.
Evidently it had nothing to do with Dallas Clark, by the way. I was reading a little bit about that. But what's the
Mike McNeil.
Okay.
6'4", 235.
There's a ton of guys like that,
yes,
that are in the 225 to 245 range that can catch the ball and move in space,
yeah,
and make plays. And I think if teams find those guys and get them on linebackers and safeties, they're going to catch a ton of passes in this league.
Yep.
I just don't think that necessarily fits what the Patriots need. They have that.
They do. There are a couple of big body types, though, that could fit, could fill the bill that you're talking about, Paul. Andre Smith of Virginia Tech, 6'4", 272.
That's the one that stands out to me.
Wesley Saunders of South Carolina, 6'5", 272. Now, the only knock here is
on their tape,
we see a lot of their catching the football, not
right,
necessarily blocking. So we don't know. They have the body type to block, but we don't know how good they can do it. So you're maybe taking a little bit of a risk if, yeah, you take a guy like that.
Wesley Saunders, and I pointed this out because we taped, Andy and I taped some segments for Patriots Today about wide receiver and tight end. Saunders is a guy that's sort of a wild card. He's got immense ability. He is a big guy who can move. At 270, he can move. And he
kinda
can
like
catch
Crumpler
the ball.
Right.
And he can block. He's got the size to block, and he can catch the ball. He was dismissed from South Carolina last year. Add him to the list that Andy's been talking about for weeks now of all of these one-year wonder types that, for whatever reason, didn't play last year. He's going to get taken late in this draft, and either he's going to be out of the league in a year, or someone's going to be like, wow, how did he get taken in the seventh round? Or how did he get taken in the sixth round and really show something? I think if Belichick gets what he wants early in the draft and a guy like that is available in the seventh round,
mm-hmm,
I wouldn't be stunned.
I wouldn't either. I also noticed go ahead, Andy.
No, I was just going to throw a name out there that I like for the H-back position,
mm-hmm,
Charles Clay. I don't believe we talked about him with the running backs. He's a fullback out of Tulsa.
Absolutely.
But is basically a jack of all trades.
Yep.
Caught the ball, ran the wildcat for them. You know, if you're looking for a guy later in the draft,
he reminded me of Aaron
fourth
Hernandez.
Round on,
that's good,
he's
Andy.
A guy that they'll find a spot,
yep,
for him.
Absolutely.
An athlete.
There's a few of,
you know,
those
late round
Preston
picks.
Preston Dial is another
cover
one.
Kicks,
yep,
for you.
Alabama.
Eventually
kid.
Come into it. Because you never know. I mean, guys get hurt. You need depth throughout,
yep,
not just now, but 2 years down the road.
Clay.
Aaron Hernandez. Who knows? His hip injury just prevents him from,
that's
becoming
exactly
what he should
who
be.
I thought of.
But I like Clay as a jack of all trades, find a job for him kind of guy in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. And Preston Dial, as Paul mentioned, Alabama pipeline connection with Nick Saban, so that's always a consideration.
There's a lot of guys that can catch the ball.
Yep, and
but
that's
I'm not
necessarily
sure, I'm
what
not
they
sure
need.
That, yeah, I'm not sure that there's a lot of guys that have the diverse ability that Belichick is going to need.
Luckily, we don't need any because we got G-Force.
And, yeah, very quickly, there was sort of a poor man's G-Force that I kind of noticed on the tape there. Skylar Ort from Northern Iowa, 6'6", 245, almost in that Gronkowski range. Not quite as powerful, not quite as fast, but in that kind of mold.
Well, the Gronkowski this year is Kyle Rudolph, who's, you know, sits out a year. Right. And he's going to be the top tight end drafted.
And ton of people making that comparison, by the way.
Exactly. So we threw a lot of names out at you there today, but remember the name, as Fort Minor is reminding us to do. Next week, we're going to talk, we're going to get into the bigger guys, into the interior line positions. That's not fair. That's gratuitous. That's unnecessary. That's Andy Hart. That's Paul Perillo. I'm Eric Scalavino. Join us next week for another Patriots Draft Prospect Review podcast where we
preview
the prospects. We'll see you next week. He knows the code. It's not about the salary. It's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, Tops picking it up. Hi, this is Troy Brown. Download the podcast now. Bingo!